CJ's on line one. Hiya, CJ.
Hi, Mick. How are you?
Good. CJ Palmer, you are or were an apprentice, and you'd like to speak about your electrical apprenticeship. How did it go?
It was very good up until, I suppose, about May last year. And then there was a few things just building up until then. So I suppose I was doing my exterior cleaning business kind of on the side, just building up regular clients and stuff while I was doing it. But it was just an overall kind of good experience, but there's a few bad things that
happened.
Okay,
what's the lot of an apprentice at the moment? Now, you know, essentially you're trading a college, an expensive college education, for a low wage while gaining experience in the real life trades, as were the physical trades of construction or electrical or plumbing and that kind of thing. And you're expected to, because you're receiving the education, take smaller wages, often that may be difficult to live on. But you're gaining that knowledge and that that customer service ability in the trades that you can have pretty much steady employment for the rest of your life. Would that be a fair analogy?
Oh, certainly, yes. There's no doubt that there's no shortage of work there, but it's, you know, you're living off kind of peanuts for your first year or two, and then it kind of gets better as you go on. But
so are most apprentices supported by parents?
I suppose I'm not too sure about that. I wasn't really that supported, you know. I was living out of home and stuff like that, so it wasn't I wasn't really supported by my parents, but there's probably parents out there that do support them. But it's tough money, but like I said, as you said there, you're getting a good trade, you eventually build up to good money, but I do think they should increase the wages on it.
Okay, so you indicated you had a pretty good time except for a few bumps in the highway. What are the negatives of the apprentice scheme? Were you in the scheme?
I was, yeah. So basically, I started when I was 16, when COVID hit, with an electrician in Ballincollig, and he was very good. It was more just for experience, really. And I started out with him. He said he could give me an apprenticeship, but he advised me to finish the Leaving Cert, so I went and finished my Leaving Cert. And then I had one or two jobs after my Leaving Cert, and then I went back into electrical. Now, there was two electrical places that I went to, and they never signed me up to the programme.
Okay, let's keep their names out of it for legal reasons, okay?
Yeah. Look, I didn't want to mention any names anyway, but they never signed me up. It was months gone by. I was saying, am I going to get signed up, or, you know, what's going on or whatever. And then they kept saying, give it another week or so, kind of that thing. And then eventually I got fed up.
Yeah, so they're stringing you along anyway.
Yeah.
In that sense, are apprentices used for cheap labour then?
It there's good companies and there's bad companies. I would advise people to do their research on companies before they step foot in the door, you know. And then there's also apprentices that just are in it for the sake of it, you know, like parents telling them, electrical is the best trade, or plumbing, or, you know, that kind of thing as well. So it just, there's people that are not interested, and then there's people genuinely wanting to learn, but they're being messed around as well. So,
okay, so I'm getting the impression you didn't finish the full apprenticeship tenure. You didn't see it through.
No, what I did was I went to phase two last May, and I was in college up until December. And basically, when I went in, I was told by employees in my company that I wasn't being brought back, not by my employer directly. So it was very disheartening, to be honest. And I worked hard. Before I went to phase two, I was just constantly cleaning. I wasn't building up the tools to go in there with experience, you know, like going into, you kind of learn what you need to know for going into phase two, but it wasn't the case. I mean, I was just constantly told to go cleaning, this, that and the other. It was just like I was there for labour, you know.
Yeah. So how far would you be now from being a certified electrician?
I would have been about a year and a half, 2 years away, I'd say.
Is it worth finding another company and finishing that?
When I was in college, I used to, like, you know, I lost all motivation because of things that happened. I don't know how you describe it, you know, like, very disheartening almost that I lost all interest, and then I wasn't going into college because I felt like, you know, what's the point anymore? I was emailing my teacher saying, I can't, you know, I just don't know, am I going to continue this? And he said, look, come in and we'll have a chat. Had multiple chats with the training advisor and everything. They're like, you know, we can find you somewhere. I did one or two weekends with two different companies, and I just said, you know, this just isn't for me anymore, you know. So,
okay. A lot of people believe in destiny and that your future is kind of preordained. That fork in the road, you know, it gave you some experience, but it set you on a different path.
Exactly, yeah. It's like I learned a lot from it.
How old are you?
I'm 22, Mick.
You're a young man.
Yeah.
So you started a new business. Were you 22 at that, or were you 21 or 20 or what?
I was just gone 22. 21, sorry. So I started building up clients just around my estate. I was learning off one of my best friend's fathers in the exterior cleaning industry, just power washing, window cleaning, fascia soffits, gutters and all that. It just kind of picked off from there, really. Did a bit of door knocking around the estate, got a few small jobs, and then it was just kind of word of mouth and posting on social media and stuff.
Yeah, word of mouth is the big thing. So do you have all these big, long extensions for first and second floor window cleaning, or maybe cleaning roof tiles and fascias and soffits?
Yeah. So it's a telescopic brush. You can get them in 30 foot, 50 foot, 80 foot.
80 feet.
They are quite expensive.
I can imagine, but I imagine they pay for themselves as well, because, you know, if you've got a 3 or 4 story office building or something, you're not going to hang a guy off the roof without great expense. So why not do it from the ground? I guess you use ladders and platforms and all that kind of thing as well, do you?
I wouldn't necessarily use ladders, as they're kind of not that safe. So I try to do most of my work from the ground, just using the telescopic brushes, gutter vac systems. Then it's just power washing is from the floor. Then soft washing walls is with the telescopic brush as well and stuff like that. So I try to minimise ladders.
There's a Polish guy, very, very popular with people in the city. I won't mention his name because I don't want to turn it into an advert against you. But I see him in many, many places, and he's worked in our house one or two times, so I know he's Polish. But he's got the van fully decked out with the advertising. He's got the ladders on the roof. He's got the water reservoir in the back of the car or the back of the van. Whatever cleaning chemicals or whatever that you need to do the jobs. And he seems to be run off his feet.
I know, yeah. It's a great business to get into if you can get it going. I was doing it with my best friend's father, as I said, and he just said to me, look, you're well able to do it yourself. He was like, why don't you go around the estate? And this is while I was doing the electrical, and he said, just a few side jobs, you know, and stuff like that. And I kind of started to enjoy it. And when that all that stuff was happening with the electrical, I said, what can I actually do? And I was just down the dumps, really, about it. And then I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot. And it just kind of escalated from there, really.
And outside of it financially, is it mentally rewarding that this is your little acorn that you want to grow into an oak tree, and you're doing it all yourself and responsible for it yourself?
Yeah, so I kind of want to just stick to myself now, maybe hire one or two people with me. Nothing too big, just kind of stick to myself, I suppose, and just so it's rewarding for myself as well that, you know, I started it all, and, you know, I suppose it'll be rewarding in the long run that I said, you know, I took the risk. And
well, we're always happy to help out a young entrepreneur from Cork on the Neil Prendeville Show. So, CJ Palmer, what's the name of your company or your sole tradership? And tell me, what can you clean?
So my company is Prime Washing Services. I'm located in Ballincollig, and I do power washing, window cleaning, fascia and soffit cleaning, gutter emptying, soft washing, and a bit of garden maintenance here and there. It just depends how big of a job it is.
How do you gutter clear without a ladder?
So I use a gutter vac system, and if it's low down, I might just use a small little step ladder, but the gutter vac systems are very good. So,
and I guess investing in equipment is an ongoing thing, but how much did all the gear cost you?
Oh, I'd say at least $5,000 minimum, I'd say.
Okay. Stay with me a second. I want to bring Morris in here. Hang on there, CJ. Morris, morning to you.
Hi, Mick. How are things, boy? Yeah.
Very good. Apprenticeships.
Apprenticeships, yeah. Yeah. I was listening with Jim yesterday. You know, we've this lad on this morning, and you've had Neil's had lots of people on down through the years. They don't know the difficulties of doing an apprenticeship financially, etc., you know?
Yeah.
And like, I think Jim is right. Like, that system is outmoded. Like, it's from the 60s or the 70s. And, like, what it is the trade is determining who's coming into it. Like, if you're a tradesman, it's up to you who you're getting as an apprentice. I mean, this should be a path that kids could follow after their junior cert, you know? You have TY, you're there in school. I think it's a waste of a year. They seem to be doing very little and going on a holiday, you know, or maybe two holidays, you know.
So are you suggesting that instead of TY year, students would have the option to begin an apprenticeship and see what what they think?
Yes, maybe. Yeah, look, you there's a work experience element, all right, you could probably blend it in with that. But the TY were out there, I think it was about that the Teachers Union of Ireland, I think it was about 12, 13 years ago, they were lobbying government at the time. And they wanted to bring in a course in the school, pre-apprenticeship type of course, where they could, you know, educate the kids and whatever, and bring them to a standard. Because, you know, I think the way it works now, it's the minimum requirement to enter that is a leaving cert, you know, for anyone to be considered for an apprenticeship. At that stage, the kids are 18 or 19, right? Yeah. And they're getting itchy. And that's competing with college then as well, you know, there's some going to college. And the thing there is they're looking around, can they get money? Like, there could be civil service jobs, it could be, I don't know, jobs in factories, you know, that are better paid at the point of entry, you know. Also, you have a situation where adults, like, you might have lads there in their 20s and 30s who came out of school and went off working someplace, right, and then decided later in life, they said, I'd love to have done a trade, you know. And there's no way back then for them, like, and I often thought, like, there should be some assistance. Like, we're crying out as a country now for tradespeople, right? We can't get them. Jim has explained it to you yesterday, right? We can't get them, and they're not being trained quick enough. I think he's went and spoke to people in industry about this as well, right? The body of force, is it, or solace, or whatever they call them. So he's had meetings with them about this, and it's all fallen on deaf ears, you know?
Well, Jim is a great advocate of reforming the apprenticeship system.
Absolutely.
CJ, how did you get your apprenticeship? You obviously didn't have your leaving cert. You were advised to go back and do it, which you did. But did you say, right, I want an electrical apprenticeship, and then the employer, if you like, chooses you? Is that how it works?
So, Mick, so basically what happened was I did it as an experience in fourth year because COVID hit and I was, I want to do something. So I went and asked my GAA coach, because he was an electrician. I said, look, do you have any work experience or anything that I can do? And he said, look, I'll bring you along for the summer and see how you get on and whatever.
Okay,
that's
how you got it.
He said, yeah, and then he said, I can offer you an apprenticeship, but I'd advise you to go finish your leaving cert. So that's what I did, and then I had one or two jobs after leaving cert, but I said, you know what, I actually want to go do electrical again because I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Morris, do you think that apprenticeship should be more college-based with maybe 2 or 3 week block releases for on-site experience or what?
Well, they kind of originated from going to work with your dad, right? Whatever job he was doing, and you got trained into his job then. And then the education side of it came into it with time, you know, because back in the day, there would have been no schooling. You would have just learned with your hands, you know, that kind of way. You're talking about electrics there, I know there's a lot of theory with that, right? And I have an interest in mechanics now, so I talk about that. Like, to go out of car today, Mick, you nearly want a computer degree for all the electronics that's on it, right? Mm-hmm. So like, you would have to have the education side of it. But you can put that first. You can put a sort of an entry-level educational thing, and you can do it with industry. But the point that I was making was, it's actually, and it's following from what Jim is saying, it's actually like a closed shop, the system that's running now. I was listening to Joe Duffy about 4 years ago, and he had a man from a travelling background on, right?
Yeah.
And he was working as an electrician's mate somewhere in Dublin, right? And had been doing that for about 15 years. So he was the guy bringing in the rolls of cable, pulling cables into ducts, bringing them all the way up to the fuse boards, you know, and bringing them out to the socket, right? For all the first fix kind of work,
yep.
Chasing walls, plastering the back. He was getting things ready for the electrician. All the electrician, they then came along then and wired up the socket, bolted it onto the wall, and wired up the MCBs onto the fuse board and put the mains lines in, right? This guy was saying, I would love to do that, but I cannot. I cannot afford to go and study to do it, right? He could go to England. There's different courses in England to do that. He said, I can't afford to go and study it, and I can't afford to start an apprenticeship at this age in my life. Yeah. So he was effectively locked over. And I was looking at him and saying, you know, you're actually right. You're actually so right. Now, you have a situation then where you'd have ex-prisoners, okay? They're up in the jail, 3 or 4 years serving the term up there, reading books, trying to educate themselves. Wouldn't it be a great thing to teach them these kind of things? Teach them plumbing, right? Teach them plastering, teach them bricklaying, to a good standard now that when you'd come out, you're straight away employable, right? Because you have now a trade certificate.
It's not a bad idea, I guess, yeah. Whether it's workable or not, I don't know, but it's not a bad idea.
And we can't seem to do it.
Thanks, Morris. Great stuff as always.
Thank you.
Cheers. Just want to finish up with CJ, just to give your business a bit of a plug. You want to make a real go of this business now, don't you, CJ?
Exactly, Mick. Yeah. No, it's what I wanted to do now. So for the past year, almost. So yeah, no, I'm going to give it a good shot and just see how it goes. And that's it, really.
Okay. And it's Prime Washing Service. Prime Washing Service, yeah. And it is on Instagram. If you'd like to support him. Well done to CJ for setting up his business at 22. Well done to that young man, Mick, says Frank. So there's people out there. You're in the Ballincollig area anyway. CJ, yeah. CJ Palmer. You might be well known to some people who are listening at the moment. And you're starting a new business at 22. And you're going to take on the world, I'd say.
Yeah, hopefully that's the plan anyway, Mick.
And come here, CJ. If it all fails, right?
Yeah.
If it all fails... You've got a lovely deep voice for radio. Thanks, CJ.
Thanks,
best of luck with it. That's CJ Palmer. You can check him out and you can support him at Prime Washing Service on Instagram.